here's a thought for us as we start tonight, because I want to talk to us about beating the bully. Everybody here is being bullied by thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts are the enemy. Sometimes it's the thought maybe of peer pressure. Sometimes it's the thought of, like I said, and we pray, the thought of something that is under the blood. I mean, who's ever been reminded? Is it just me? Who's ever been reminded of a sin that's under the blood when the devil wants to try and just get you feeling bad about yourself? Amen. And you know, bullied by life, and maybe social media. You can get bullied. You can look at what's happening on social media. It looks like it's all happening somewhere else, and your life sucks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're looking, going, dang, what am I? I'm not doing anything for God. I see all this. Remember, all they are is ESPN highlights. Nobody's putting out the bad days, the ordinary days. They're only given the good days. And so here's the thought I want to give you. If you hear nothing else, write this down. You and I will only rise to the level of our security. We will only rise to the level of our security. In other words, I remember years and years ago, I was the on and off acting senior pastor for about 3 years of a church in the western suburbs of Sydney. And our senior pastor had a breakdown, and there was all sorts of challenges in the church as a result of that. There was uprising of people trying to take advantage of that and trying to take over the church and undermine the senior pastor. And I was a little bit naive to it, but I found myself in a position of being asked, would I help lead the church through these times until our senior pastor came back again? And it was always my desire to return that church back to him bigger and better than it was before. And I remember, you know, we had to make certain financial decisions. He had a breakdown, an emotional breakdown, a mental breakdown, a physical breakdown. I used to watch him literally on a Sunday morning in his office, curled up in a fetal position, bawling and sobbing, saying, I don't have the strength to get out and preach. And he'd go, God, help me. And I'm looking at him. He's in a fetal position in the corner in his office. And he would crawl on his hands and knees and grab the door to his office and pull himself up on the doorknob and then go out and preach an amazing sermon. And they go right back into a fetal position in his office and start crying like a baby. And I remember thinking, if this is the ministry, I don't want it. If that's what you're going to look like, I'm out. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I don't want this. And then he would ring me most Saturday nights and say, Steve, I don't have the strength to preach. Steve, would you preach for me? So I found myself preaching with no preparation, no, you know, and that's what I get sometimes a bit ticked when I ask somebody to preach here and they freak out and I give them days notice. I'm talking Saturday night I'd get the phone call, or Sunday morning. I give our team days and they all go, we're going to prepare a sermon. Yeah, welcome to the ministry. Amen. And so I remember during that time we had to shut down a preschool. Our senior pastor wasn't really paying enough close attention to what was happening with the financial situation, the enrollments, and we lost the opening year, the start of the school year, and all the parents that were there, the school wasn't ready to be opened, and so they had to find other schools because they had no choice. They had to put their kids in kids' programs. And so by the time we did open, we lost about 70% of the enrollments, and we were losing $1,200 a week, and we had to make a decision to shut down the preschool. We're in the front page of the newspaper of you know, all these disappointed parents, and you know, there's my photo on the front page. Young pastor doesn't know what he's doing, shuts down the preschool, and had this board around me that were great men and great women, and one of them was the equivalent of the 2IC, the second in charge of the FBI. And you want to talk about being a little bit intimidated when you've got somebody who's the second in charge of the FBI and the whole nation of Australia. In Australia, it's called the National Crime Authority. I knew this man well. I was the youth pastor to his children, and we loved this family dearly. But this guy was a hitter. This guy was in charge of the criminal investigation of the police commission. He had death threats on his life, murder threats. He was breaking drug rings and big major crimes. And he used to ring me and say, Steve, would you come and have lunch with me? And I'd have to go to the building where he was there, and my car was swept for bombs, and they put mirrors underneath to make sure there was no bombs, and then I'd have security lead me in and then take me into his office, and there'd be security guards following him and bodyguards talking into their sleeve and little earpieces, and you know, he was never allowed to travel with the other guy that was in charge of the NCA. And let me tell you something, that can be a little bit intimidating. And finally, one day, he just looked at me and he goes, "Listen to me, you're my pastor. I need you, but you're intimidated by me. When you get around me, you shrink, and I don't need you to shrink. I need a pastor. I need a man of God. I'm not asking you to solve my problems. I know what my job is, but I want to sit with you and talk to you and tell you what it is that you can pray for us about and what it is you can pray for the nation. And I want to be able to sit with my pastor, my man of God, who I know spiritually is covering me. I understand authority, and I'm under your authority." And I looked at that man. I said, "Thank you. I received that." And from that day till this day, I can honestly tell you, I refuse to let the success or the prominence of any person cause me to shrink back. I know who God's called me to be. I know who God's called me to lead. And I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to be some Johnny-come-lately kind of person. But I do realize that you and I will only rise to the level of our security. So if you're shrinking back, an opportunity comes by, you'll shrink back. If you can get intimidated, you'll shrink back. Anybody know what it's like when you're playing softball and it's your turn to bat? I am the kind of guy, if the bases are loaded and it's the bottom of the ninth inning and there's two outs and it's a 3-2 count, I'm the guy that's going to make sure, I want to make sure it's me at the batter's plate. If I'm in a soccer game and it's just a penalty shootout, I want to be the goalkeeper because I want to be the guy that tries to save the game. Because I don't know what anyone else will do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it my best shot. Can I encourage you in life to understand that you and I will only rise to the level of our security? Come on, someone say amen. Yeah, so think about that. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was the leader of what was then the New Testament church, probably a church of about 60 to 80,000 people, the largest church in its day. And here's Timothy, a young man who was leading and the leader of some very mature Christians in the house of God. People who are older and wiser and more mature. And Paul says, "Let no one despise you because you're young." And here is Timothy leading people, 60 to 80,000 people. That's pretty impressive. And he goes, "Don't let anybody despise you just because you're young." You see, there is an accuser. And he sounds, and let me tell you something, he sounds like God. There is an accuser, and he sounds like God. So if you give, you know what the accuser does? You didn't give enough. He sounds like God. You know, you decide to come to church and you go, and he goes, "You didn't pray enough." Come on. You decide you're going to give to the, you know, to foundation provision for that. There is an accuser. The Bible says the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And if he can't get you to backslide, he's going to try to get you to serve God in the flesh. He's going to try to get you to prove your worth, prove you're worthwhile. And all he's trying to do is shrink you back. You see, there is an accuser and he sounds like God, but all he wants to do is bully you. Amen. You can be blessed and you can feel guilty. Look at you in the nice house you live in. Man, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Look at you, the car you drive. Who do you think you are? There is an accuser. And he sounds like God, but he's a bully. It's the devil. Listen to this, appearing as an angel of light, but the truth is, it's the devil himself. Come on, someone say amen. And so the greatest jackpot you and I will ever win is when we get good with ourselves. The greatest jackpot you and I will ever win is when we gain confidence. Somebody say amen. the greatest jackpot you will ever win. I was reading about a guy this week who put, I think it was like $2 or something, some small amount of money, and he just won in the slot machine in Las Vegas. He won $14 million. $14 million. How many of that's a jackpot? Do you know what he did with that jackpot? They said to this guy who won it, what are you going to do with the $14 million? He goes, oh, our church has been meeting in a school hall and we've had a building campaign for years, but I'm going to take all this money, I'm going to give it all to our church so we can build the building we've always wanted. The only thing I wished was, I wish that man was in Wave Church. The greatest jackpot is when you can actually gain confidence. The Bible says, don't throw away your confidence. It will reward you. Amen? Come on. We shouldn't be doing the devil's work and reminding people of their flaws. And I've noticed something. When people don't understand, they talk. When people don't understand what someone else is going through, they talk. And they actually are critical of other people and love to point out other people's flaws. And let me tell you something, it's just purely you don't understand what they're going through. Come on, somebody say amen. And the world needs love and grace. And listen, the world needs kindness. We ought not to be bullying other people with our sense of self-righteousness. Look at this scripture in Isaiah chapter 43, speaking about Jacob and Israel. It says, but now this, Israel's only savior. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob. Everybody say, created Jacob. God created Jacob. I mean, Jacob was made in the image and the likeness of God. Okay, Jacob the schemer, Jacob the wrestler. Jacob the liar, Jacob the manipulator. I preached a whole sermon on him a few weeks ago. He created Jacob, just like he created you and me. But look what the Bible says now. It says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Jacob, he creates. Israel, he forms. Jacob, he creates. Everybody here has got an image that you've been made in the image of God and you've been created by God and you've got your natural personality. But let me tell you something. God sees past your humanity. God sees past your flaws and God is forming you and God is shaping you and God isn't finished with you yet. Don't let the enemy, don't let other people bully you. He created Jacob, but Israel he formed. God is not done with you yet. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't be intimidated. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Don't let the giants in your life bully you. Don't let life shrink you down. Don't let the opportunities, an opportunity for promotion, an opportunity, maybe if you feel like you can sing, but you hear other people singing, and if you're careful, you can be bullied. You wouldn't even have to come to creative. You wouldn't even make it because of the voice of bullies in your own head telling you you don't have what it takes. You don't know what God can do for you. You're aware of your weaknesses. Jacob, he created, but Israel, he forms. God's not done with you. This church has got plenty of room for broken people who are works in progress. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you, speaking about Jacob and Israel, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Listen to this. I said, if there's anything you're going to write down this thought. Listen to it. You and I will only rise to the level of our security. I want you to write this down as well. If you write nothing else, write this second thought down. Listen to it carefully. No night lasts forever. Listen to what God said. If you go through the rivers, they will not overpower you and they will not drown you. Come on, listen to it. If you pass through the waters, I will be with you. If you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. What God is saying is you will get there. You're going to get to the other side. Come on. Don't let the river, don't let the water, don't let the nighttime, don't let the darkness, don't let the poverty, don't let the enemy, don't let life bully you. You are going to make it. Jacob, he created, but Israel, he forms. I've come to tell somebody tonight, you're going to make it. You're going to go through it. When you go through the fires, not if, but when. In the name of Jesus, you will get through your fire. You will swim out the waters in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Can I tell you, you're in a church that is actually cheering you to get to the other side. You're in a church. And I know people right now, if I had to look across this auditorium, I'm aware of people right now who are going through their fire. I look at other people and they're just thanking God for the good things in life. But I know people right now, it's a fire in your marriage. It's a fire in your finances. It's a fire in your family. I talked to pastors this week and, you know, good friend of mine and, you know, his son is in a drug rehab. And the shame and the guilt of all the enemy bullying him, making him think, what kind of father are you? How can you pastor this church when your own son's in rehab? And I said, it doesn't matter. Listen, man, every kid makes their own choices. But let me tell you something. What the leadership you can give your church right now is you're loving your son. There's no shame on you. And you're teaching the church that you're going to pray for your son, believe for his divine turnaround, and you're going to give people an example to follow. When there's no hope, you're going to give them leadership of hoping and trusting in God. Come on, somebody say amen. So here's the story as we close. Listen to this. You're in a place, listen to it, where we're cheering you to get to the other side. You're in a house that's saying, come on, no night lasts forever. Come on. That sad song has got an ending. Amen. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, there will be a new day. There will be a better tomorrow. I'm talking to someone here tonight. You need to hear this because you're just in the valley right now, and God never called you to live in the valley. Here's what happened. Goliath gets up for 6 weeks every day, and he challenges Israel. 6 weeks every day. Send me your champion. He's a bully. The Bible tells us he's somewhere between 9 to 12 feet tall. Most scholars believe he was approximately 12 feet tall. For a helmet, he wore a Volkswagen on his head. The brother is big. And he stands up and every day he defies the army of God. And this is what he says. Send me one man. And if one man can beat me, then we will be your servants. But if I beat him, then we will be your servants. I still believe that one person can make a difference in the name of Jesus. Don't tell me, who am I? What can I do? Oh, both armies were willing, but nobody would fight Goliath. The brother was too big. Dad one day says to David, David, go up and give your brother some cheese sandwiches. And you know, David goes up there and he goes, just check in on the king and, you know, let me know how things are going. And so David goes out there and he hears Goliath, and Goliath does what he does. And the Bible says that all of Israel were paralyzed. Let me tell you something. Bullying will paralyze you. It'll stop you dead in your tracks. When you're being bullied, you're too afraid to pick up the phone. When you're being bullied, you're afraid of the phone ringing, a fear of bad news. When you're going through it in intimidation, you don't even want to look at your emails. You don't even want to look at your cell phone. You don't want to look at your text messages. You don't want more information just making life tougher for you. You want to put on all the filters. But let me tell you something. This giant, he's no stupid boy. He's bypassing all the filters. And every day he gets up for 6 weeks of every day and he's shouting out, come on! Send me your champion. And no one goes. But David one day happens to be giving his brothers some food. And he goes, who's that uncircumcised guy? And they're going, David, shut up. You're just a kid. What are you doing here? You just came to see the battle, which I think is amusing because what battle are we talking about, brothers? No one's fighting. What is there to see? There is no battle. And then, of course, you know the story. David goes over to King Saul and says to King Saul, Saul, I'll go fight him. And Saul, the king of Israel, there was no one willing. Everybody's paralyzed but one little kid who is in covenant with the God of heaven that looks at this man and says he's an uncircumcised fellow. He's defying the army of God. He's defying the hosts of heaven. I'll go. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. And one thing I don't want to do as a pastor in the church is to be somebody who's keeping down a giant killer. I don't want to be a Saul and stopping somebody saying, I'll do it. I don't want to be one of David's brothers and trying to pull people back. I want to be somebody that goes, go kill the giant. A young person with a dream to write great songs. An athlete with a dream to make it in major sport and wants to make a breakthrough and make a mark for God. I want to be somebody that says, come on, man, go slay the giant. Slap the bull. Kill the bully. Give it a go. Come on, give it your best shot in Jesus' name. I don't want to be somebody who stops a giant killer. I don't want to be Saul trying to put my armor on someone else. I don't want to be David's brothers just accusing him of not looking after the sheep. Come on, someone say amen. Psalm 138 verse 2. It says, in the day when I cried out to the Lord, listen to this, you answered me and you made me bold with strength in my soul. Listen to it. In the day when I cried out to the Lord, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Can I tell you something? The giant prophesied, I'm going to kill you, little boy. The giant still prophesies tonight. When you face your enemy, the enemy tries again to bully you. I'll kill you this day. Who do you think you are? Can I tell you something? The giants, the bullies, are voices that are prophesying to you. And you've got to learn how to be a giant slayer. You've got to learn how to cut and slap the bully out of your life in Jesus' name. David was a giant killer. Come on. Come on. David was a giant killer. David had indignation about Saul, about Goliath's intimidation. David had indignation about Goliath's intimidation. Amen. The church is paralyzed just as Israel was. And one man, listen to this, one man can make all the difference in the world. Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Singers, musicians, come on back. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. I believe with all my heart, there are many people here tonight, and you've got to kill the giant inside of you. You've got to cut down that voice that prophesies, you're no good, you won't make it, you won't get to the other side. People here tonight, you're walking through some stuff, and I want you to hear it. No night lasts forever. No, you're going to make it to the other side. Come on, lift up your eyes. I cried out to the Lord and he strengthened me with confidence and strength in my soul. Somebody here tonight, you're going to get strong in your mind. Somebody here tonight, God's going to give you some inner confidence and break the paralysis in your life. You're going to rise above the hard marriage. You're going to rise above the tough job. You're going to rise above the hard financial situation. You're going to rise above the lack that you're in. You're going to make it to the other side in the name of Jesus. You're coming out of this fire. You're going to make it to, you're going to come out of the depression. You're going to come out of the negativity. That son, that daughter is coming home. Don't let the bully tell you that he's going to take him out.